It is a blessing to worship the Lord with you. This morning we're going to look at a lesson from David's life. And I know many of us know about David in the Bible. And to many, he's one of the favorite characters in the Bible. By using the word character, not to mention that he is made up. Nothing in the Bible is made up. It's true, it's real, it happened, or it's going to happen. Or both. Some of the prophetic words that God had spoken in times past were for a time in that day, but also have a secondary fulfillment. Many of those prophecies do. My family and I are just thankful to be part of this church and part of your lives. It really is a blessing, a joy to us. We love it when you do well. When the Lord blesses, and we feel when things are tough, and we lift you up in prayer, and what a joy to do that as well. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at. We're going to look at David's life, and many of us know that David was this wonderful king. Didn't say perfect king, but he was a great king, a wonderful leader. And I want to my goal this morning is to kind of point out maybe what caused him to be a great leader and a great king over Israel. It reminds me of. Somebody was visiting this town, this small community, and they were wanting to write an article about this small community, and so they were this reporter was interviewing people, and he interviewed this one older gentleman, and he said, "You know, I just has anyone great ever been born here in this town, in this community?" And the old gentleman just responded and said, "Nope. Just babies." None of us are born great. We're born little and naked. And that's it. So the point of that is we become great by following Jesus. Okay? And that's what I think David did. And many of us know his predecessor, King Saul. King Saul disobeyed God, and God said, "That's it. I'm going to be removing you from your position as king." And so, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're kind of jump around a little bit. So, pay attention where we're at. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 6 and 7. And so here's what it says in verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Samuel," again, God has decided that King Saul was going to be removed as the king because he had disobeyed God. "And now God says to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul.'" He's saying, "You got to keep moving forward, Samuel. "'I have rejected him as king of Israel.'" Look at this. "So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." Verse 2. "But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' God said, 'Take a heifer with you,' the Lord replied, 'and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord.'" And so Samuel goes to Bethlehem. He goes and he takes this heifer. He's going to make this sacrifice to the Lord. And he invites Jesse and his family to join Samuel with in this sacrifice. And in verse 6 says, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab. Now Eliab was one of Jesse's older sons. And when Samuel looked at this fine specimen of a man, he thought to himself, man, this has got to be the one God wants. I paraphrase that. Okay? Verse 7. But God responds. God says to Samuel, he says, because you know what? God knows the thoughts in our hearts, doesn't he? Because I'm sure that Samuel hadn't said any of that out loud, but he's sure thinking it in his brain. God knows the thoughts of mankind. God knows your thoughts. God knows what motivates us. God knows what gets our attention, doesn't he? And here God says in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height. Because as we know, Saul was a head taller than most of the other folks in the area. So height doesn't have a whole lot to do with it, tall or short, does it? No. No. He said, Samuel, hey guy, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. He's not the one. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. Does that still apply today? I think a lot of times it does. Maybe not every time. Because God can allow us to see through his eyes from time to time. But the Lord doesn't see things the way that you and I see things. God continues. He says, people judge by outward appearance. People judge by what they see on the outside, what seems real to them. But God knows the reality, doesn't he? He sees through the appearance. He sees through those things. And he says here, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And so while Samuel was just certain that old Mr. Eliab was going to be the next king of Israel, what a fine specimen. I'm sure he was one of the older sons. I'm sure he was fit. I'm sure he was strong. And Samuel thought to himself, it's got to be him. I'm sure this is who God wants. And God responded to Samuel and said, no, sir. He's not the one. I've got somebody else in mind. You're looking at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. So then the question is, where is your heart? Where does your allegiance lie? Who owns your heart? What is your heart? What does your heart run after? God says, people judge by outward appearance, but I don't. I look at the heart. Let's slide down to verse 16. And because of King Saul's disobedience, now he is dealing with some depression and whatnot. And so some of those men that were around King Saul, they said in verse 16, hey, king, let us find a good musician to play the harp or the lyre whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. Ever trying to put a Band-Aid on a heart problem? And the king, Saul, responds in verse 17, all right, find me someone who plays well and bring them here. Verse 18, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. Now, so King Saul is having these issues. He's having these bouts of depression, and it's said there that there was this tormenting spirit that would come and bug him and bother him, and he had struggled with that, and so they were looking for someone to help him with that, and they came to realize that, hey, you know what, maybe David this young man, maybe David could come and play the lyre, the harp, and help the king. Verse 19 says, so Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, send me your son David, the shepherd. I want to say that this morning that David was, I think David was special in God's sight before any of this stuff ever happened. Before Samuel went to make that sacrifice, before Samuel went to say, oh, this is the king. Not Eliab, but we know that Samuel called for all the sons. Okay, Lord, is it this one? Nope. Okay, is there any more? Because God's not said yes yet. Well, yeah, our son Jesse's out in the field tending sheep. I'm trying to get the point across that David was faithful. And one thing was he was faithful to the Lord. He was out tending sheep. He was out taking care of his responsibility. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And then Samuel said, well, get him in here. Bring the son that's out in the field. Bring him in here. And as you know the story, that's the one that God chose, was David, young David. And David gets down on his knees before Samuel, and Samuel pours that oil. Remember, God said, take the oil and the heifer. And he takes that whole flask of oil and he pours it over David. And it runs down. It runs down his head, over his ears, down his face, on his back. And that represents an anointing of the Lord for a specific purpose. But see, I believe that David was faithful to the Lord long before that. And we're gonna see some of that here as we look on. But David was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to the Lord, I believe, in the little things. In those little things. And so we're gonna slide down to verse 21. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Look at that. David served the king, and he did it faithfully. And look at this. This says a lot about how faithful David was. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. So he was so faithful. Saul knew that David was so faithful to him that now you're not just going to play the harp for me. Now you're going to be my armor bearer because I believe that you've got my back. Is what Saul was thinking. And it says there that he loved David very much. That says volumes, doesn't it? It really does. Now it changes down the road, as many of you know. But David was pleasing to Saul. Verse 22. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him. Praise God, huh? So let's turn to the next chapter, chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so David was serving the king long before they went to fight against the Philistines, and in particular this giant called Goliath. David had already been serving in King Saul's house. And been serving him and been helping him. And now, as you know, the Philistines come and they draw battle lines against Israel. And instead of everybody fighting, the Philistines decided, well, we've got this guy and nobody can whoop him. So we'll just send him out. And that way it'd be one-on-one, and whoever wins takes all. Sounds great. Except that everybody in Israel was like, that guy's too big. And they took a step back and they hid behind a tree or whatever they could find. And Goliath taunts the people of God. Goliath defies God's people and he defies God. And one day, David had been sent home to tend the sheep again. Dad needed the help because the other three older brothers had enlisted in Israel's army, and they were there to help, but they were chickens too. And David is asked, his dad says, David, I need you to take some things, take this care package to your brothers. Yeah, sure. Was faithful. And he goes and he delivers. And while he's there, he hears Goliath come out, and Goliath says, hey, which one of you sissies is going to come out and fight me? I defy Israel. None of you are man enough to do it. And David's hearing this, and he's like, what in the world? Has this guy been doing this more than today? Did this just start? This can't continue on. We've got to do something about this. And so in verse 32, David goes to King Saul. King Saul, don't worry about this Philistine. You don't need to worry about it. I'll take care of it. He says, I'll go and fight him. I'll go do it. If nobody else is man enough, I'll do it. This should have already been taken care of, but seeing how it's not, and I'm here now. And King Saul's like, I love you, David. You're awesome. You're an awesome young man. But he'll murder you. That's what he said without saying it. Let's look and see what he says in verse 33. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. David, you're going to die. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. Okay, so I didn't read all of it, but before this section, David comes and he's asking. He's heard what Goliath has said. He's talked with some of the other soldiers, and now he knows what's going on. He knows what's at stake. He knows there's a chance that he could die. He knows that there's also reward involved. You get to marry the king's daughter and be exempt from taxes. Yeah. Nobody likes taxes. And so he's trying to figure out if this is something that he needs to do or not, if he's the guy. And he's coming to the realization that I'm the guy. Everybody else is chicken, their tails between their legs. But guess what? His brothers, no, you're not the guy. King Saul, we just read it. You're not the guy. Sometimes when God puts something in your heart, you are the guy, or let me also say woman, you might be the person that God has called to do that one thing. Others won't recognize it. Some will, some won't. Does that mean that you shouldn't do it? I think you should have trusted people in your life that can speak into your life. People that hear from God, people that have a relationship, a close relationship with Jesus, that way you could go to them and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Am I off my rocker? Am I crazy? And they could say, yeah, absolutely not. Then again, they might be wrong. King Saul was God's anointed leader. But at this time, David had already been anointed to be the next king. But guess what? That didn't take place for years. Matter of fact, later on, David begins to run for his life away from King Saul. And it all started on this particular day, because God gave him victory, and King Saul became jealous, because he realized that was his place. He should have been the one taking out the giant. And he wasn't. He became jealous. And that only festered and got to where he was throwing spears at David. The one in chapter 16, he said, no, Jesse, Dad, you gotta let let David stay. He's very valuable to me. He's very pleasing to me. He helps me. And matter of fact, I'm going to make him my armor bearer. But David says, I'm sorry, King Saul says, no, David, don't be ridiculous. You can't win. There's no way you can possibly win. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't seem like that. When God calls you to do something, it doesn't seem like there's any way. And who would have ever thought? Because this giant was over 9 feet tall. Okay, I can touch an 8-foot ceiling, barely just stretching, without being on my tippy toes. That's a foot to a foot and a half above right here. I don't like looking up to people. And most people I don't have to, but I certainly have to look up to the Goliath. His armor weighed over 100 pounds. Nate, how much do you weigh? Oh, I think his armor weighed 125 pounds. That'd almost be like wearing Nate. Can you believe that? But it stretched out over 9 feet. Yeah, if Nate was on my shoulders, yeah, it'd be 9 feet. And so, who would ever thought that this young man could take down that giant? And then King Saul was like, here, try my armor and try my sword and try my stuff. Because we really need you to win this, kid. Otherwise, we're subject to them. And David says, no, I don't need that stuff. He tried it. He said, I can't do it. No. Nope. But look at what he says in verse 34. But David persisted. No, King Saul, I'm telling you, I can do this. I've got this. He says, I have been taking care of my father's sheep. I have been faithful. I have been faithful to both the Lord and my family. I have taken care of my responsibilities. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and his goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, verse 35, I go after it with a club. How many of you have ever gone after a lion or a bear with a club? Obviously, they didn't have 30-06s back then. He goes after the bear or the lion with a club. That doesn't sound like fun to me. But he says, I go to rescue that lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I'll be faithful. I've been faithful, King. King Saul, I've been faithful. I've done what I had to do. And I've been faithful to the Lord. I've been faithful to my responsibilities. Today's no different. Verse 36, I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. Pretty interesting, huh? Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right then, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. And he certainly was. David goes down and grabs 5 smooth stones. And he takes his little slingshot, which wasn't the slingshot that we know of. It was a slingshot you spun like that and you flung it. But I think that David was faithful long before Samuel shows up to anoint him with oil. I think that as a shepherd boy, taking care of his family's livestock, I think that David was pursuing God. I think that David I think that many of the psalms that we read about, I think that he sang those and he made those up in God's presence out in the wide open country when he was taking care of the sheep. When he didn't have to go hunt the bear and find the lamb that the bear or the lion had taken. I think that David was, that was who he was. He was a worshiper. He was this person who just talked with the Lord and grew closer to him. He sought God. And then one day this opportunity comes about. King Saul disobeys God and God says, "Hey, I'm going to be removing you. Now I got to find a replacement." Oh, what about David? What about David? He loves me. He worships me. He serves me. He seeks me. And I think it's those things that made David this wonderful king. I think it's those things that made David a man after God's own heart, the scripture tells us. So what do we learn from this? Are there any giants for us to fight? Before you face the giant, you've got to face the Lord. Before you face the giant, you've got to get close to the Lord. We've got to know him and we've got to enjoy him. David wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible. Not all of them, but he wrote many of them. Whole bunch. And some we know he wrote after he was anointed. We know he wrote some of those after he killed Goliath, but just possibly he wrote some of them long before any of that. When he was just a shepherd boy, just taking care of got his family's sheep and serving God and seeking God. And so, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful in the little things? Because sometimes we wait for big things to happen and expect God to move in those and forget about the little one, the little details. Forget about the day-to-day faithfulness. We got to be faithful to the Lord each day. And I want to share a scripture with you that Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones as well. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. You see, I think that is why God was able to trust David to become king. Because he had already tested David, and David was faithful in little things. And as you know, what employer is going to make you put you over more things if you can't do what you're doing already? Right? That you'd be silly. You'd be silly as an employer to put someone over more things that they're not even fulfilling what they're already been asked to do. So what are we asked to do as Christians? Be faithful. Seek God. Seek Him and seek His ways. I think that He expects of us to seek Him daily. That is, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about pursuing Him and talking with Him, listening to Him. I think that also includes opening up your Bible and letting Him speak to you through the Word of God. I, for one, am thankful that each one of us can have a Bible. It's not just for certain people. It's not just for clergy. It's for all of us. And many people over many years, have worked hard to provide that for us and translate the Bible so that you and I can have it to read in our own language. I think those are things that we can be faithful in, little things. But those are daily things that we can, ways that we can grow, ways that I think God sees as stepping stones, if you will, But it's not like we ever get to a point where we no longer have to do those things. We're still supposed to be faithful in them, right? I think we're supposed to tell others about Jesus when we get opportunities. I think we're supposed to shine brightly for Him and honor Him in every decision that we make and even the words that we say. Those are ways that we can be faithful to the Lord. Those are some of those little things, those daily things that will add up to big things when the time is right. It's pretty exciting, really. So this morning, my question for you, are you being faithful in the little things? You don't have to respond to me, but I certainly want you to respond to the Lord. He's drawing you in. He's drawing each and every one of us in. Do you ever take time to worship Him beyond Sundays? Do you open His Word throughout the week? If not, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to do that and say, God, show me who you are. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose, is to get to know who He is in those, let me call them quiet times. In those quiet times, the purpose of it is simply to get to know Him and allow Him to speak into our lives. And that is that's a treasure, really. I remember years ago, I worked at this cabinet shop, and this guy, he would, I don't know if he was saying it sarcastically or not, but he'd say, man, you're the man. I said, no, but I talk to him every day. But I know the man. I talk to him every day. And so David was this wonderful king. But he wasn't born a wonderful king. He was born a baby. And then God began to work in his heart. And he responds to God and wants to grow in his relationship with God, wants to know God. We sang a song a while ago about adoring God. Do you adore Him? Is He... And I think another line, either in that same song or a different one this morning, was, is He your everything? Is He your everything? He's wonderful. And we're simply called to be faithful in the little things. Don't wait for big things to be faithful in. Wait for the little things to be faithful in. And it's a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord in any way. Will you bow your hearts with me? This morning, if this message is speaking to your heart, if this message is speaking to your heart and you feel that the Lord is speaking to you and saying, hey, well, I want you to be faithful in those little things, because you realize that maybe you haven't been. It's okay, but hear the voice of the Lord this morning and respond to Him with obedience. Respond to Him and make that decision today to seek the Lord. Make that decision today to run after Him every day. Every day. Because, you know, church, if we don't have Him, we don't have anything. If we don't have Him, we just simply don't have anything. So if that's you this morning and you just feel the Lord is calling you deeper in to be faithful, just slip up your hand so I can see it. Not saying that you don't know Jesus. I'm saying that you feel like He's calling you to be faithful in those little things. Yeah. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for wonderful examples in your word. And Lord, help us to be faithful in little things. And we've got to be faithful in those little things before we can be faithful in larger things and with greater responsibilities. But Lord, let us be faithful to seek you. Because even if we have all the responsibility in the world, but we don't have you, then we don't have anything. It's all about you, and help us to keep it all about you. Here in this church, but also in our lives, our individual lives and our families, help us to be faithful to you. We thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, let us take this challenge and let us run with it. Lord, I am challenged because David said, no, well, if nobody else is going to do it, then I might as well. And you honored him in that, God. So help us in when you speak to our hearts about different things and others don't hear it, others don't see it, others don't believe it, let us not be deterred by what they think. People without faith, people without vision. But instead, Holy Spirit, let us be obedient to you and let us follow what you're leading us to do. And let us seek counsel from your presence. And let us seek counsel from those also who have been in your presence and who have faith and who have that vision. Let us only allow those kinds of people to speak into our lives. And Lord, may those other words just pass us by and not detract us, not derail us, but help us to pursue you all along the way and whatever you call us to do, because at some point you will say, hey, you have been faithful, and now I'm going to give you a little bit more responsibility. So God, help us. Help us to be faithful in all these little things. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be thankful. You're faithful, God, and you are worthy. And I ask that you would encourage your people today. Lord, help us to seek you and help us to know you. We give you the praise, God. Go with your people. Encourage their hearts. Speak to them, Holy Spirit, through your word. And Lord, show us wonderful things. And use us and anoint us and empower us for your service. We thank you for your many, many blessings. We thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So good to see you today. Don't forget, there are a few sign-up sheets out there in the